All right, good morning again. You got your Bibles with you, most of you? All right, let's take it and open it up to the book of John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. And we're going to take the second part of resolving to know Jesus deeply today. Last week, we started the first part. So we're going to read these verses again. Are y'all ready? No, not yet. All right, we'll give you just a few more seconds. John 1, 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. All right, if you do not have your Bible, it will be on the screen, okay? All right, hopefully the background is not too, what's the word I'm looking for? Distracting, all right? But there's a point for it, and you'll see in a minute why it is as it is. All right, so starting in verse 1, it says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And so we see this morning that John, who is the person that's writing this, who was one of the disciples of Jesus, probably the closest one, very close to Jesus. You know, in this gospel, we said last week that five times in this book, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so we see that John had a very close relationship with Jesus. And so as we look at it, it's important to see that what you're getting, the words that you get in these 20-something chapters in the book of John, come from a person with a very close perspective and is a very close source to what really happened. And then you add on top of that the Holy Spirit's inspiration in writing these things, you see that John knew Jesus quite well. And we see that the reason he writes this, as we looked last week, later on in the book, in chapter 21, he says he's writing this so that we may know Jesus and have eternal life. And so that's John. And last week, we remember kind of the first part of it. We talked about how the world is kind of covered in darkness. What is right is seen as wrong, and what is wrong is seen as right very often, not always. But it seems as if the way things ought to be have just kind of been turned up on top, upside down, right? And so we see that the Bible speaks about this darkness. And when the Bible speaks about darkness, it is not speaking about, like, if we were to turn off the lights in here and put all the shades down and all that stuff. It's not the type of darkness that he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual darkness. A spiritual darkness that covers the world. It's a darkness of evil. It is one that started with, as we see in the scriptures, Lucifer, that fallen cherub who just said, "You know, I see what you're like, God, and I want to be just like you. Now, except I want to have what you've got, and I want to be over you. I want to be the one in charge." And it was at that point that he rebelled against God and just brought in a darkness into the creation. And so that's when we see that, and we see how he has also led men astray. If you wonder why you're tempted and things like that, it's not necessarily of your own doing, but most of it has to do with the fact that there are spiritual forces going on in our world today that cause us to fall into sin. And so when you see darkness, that's what he's talking about. And then last week, when we looked at our 4 points, because we had 8, right, and 4 last week and 4 this week, the one is that we saw that Jesus was the Word of God. We saw that he was the Word. And then when you read this, the beginning was the Word. It is speaking about Jesus. I said, I did the little test on Aiden. I read it and I said, who's he talking about? He said, Jesus. So I said, you know, it's not that hard for us to really see that that's who John is talking about. And then the second point was we saw that Jesus was in the beginning. And not just when the beginning, after the beginning started, but he was the one who was the source of the beginning. That the beginning got its source in Jesus Christ. And we see that word, and that's the context there, and throughout the rest of the Bible, that's the way it teaches, that the beginning got its source from Jesus Christ. And then the third thing that we looked at was we saw that Jesus was with God, in relationship with the Father, a community there, you know, and we saw that and how important it was for us to realize that God, the Father, and God the Son have a relationship with one another. And it's something that has come down to us also, that has been put into us to have relationships with each other and also to have a relationship with God. And then the fourth point we saw was that Jesus was God. And you see that there in that second verse. It says he was with God and the Word was God. And we looked at the fact that, look, we talked about the Trinity just briefly, and we said the Trinity, which is the doctrine that teaches that there is one God in three persons, it is one God, but there are three distinct persons at the same time, is not a man-made doctrine that we impose on people. Rather, it is a doctrine that's in the Bible that is imposed upon us by the Scriptures. And so we saw that, and we also made the point that because He is God, that He's going to be quite a little bit harder for us to understand than your regular person that sits beside you, right? You know, it's not necessarily something that we should expect to completely understand. Because why? Because He's God. And we're not necessarily going to understand all of these things. And so today, we want to get to know Jesus better. That's the purpose of the series in the book of John. That's what we're looking at. And so I want you to see today that hopefully these words, Creator and darkness and light and things like that, are not just something that, I don't know what's going on around here.
It's an escape artist.
Is there like a cage or something? Do y'all bring those with you? Those little cages? But hopefully these words like Creator and life and darkness and light become more than just words that you write down or that you listen to in a book. That they actually come to have meaning, all right? So that you can understand what it is that He's trying to say. And I hope that these things are stored in your mind. And you know that place that you put things that you can remember, that safe in your brain, you know, like you remember your wife or your husband's birthday, that place. We're wanting to know Jesus better. It's the whole purpose of looking at John. It's the whole purpose of looking through those first four chapters in the book of Revelation is to get to know Him better. And if you store these things up in your mind, and if you get to know these things and remember these things, I mean, if you just remember these five verses and you go back to them, they will serve you well. It will serve you well as you walk in this world. It will serve you well as you want to get to know Christ better. And so I want you to see these things this morning. So the first thing, the first point we want to look at is Jesus as our Maker. We see there in verse 3, it says, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Psalm 33:6, the psalmist says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their hosts. And so what did He make? He made, you know, if you look at the Greek word there where it says He made all things, the Greek word is pos, and it means all. That's what it means. All things. Everything that was created by Him. And it's important, and we looked at this last week, He says all things were made through Him. That really should be enough, right? If He just says that. But He goes a step further. And not only does He say all things were made through Him, He says, and there was nothing that was made that was not made through Him. So He's like He's trying to reemphasize it and make a point over these things so that we understood what He was saying. And that word make there in the original language is ginomai, and it means to come into being, to happen, or to cause. And so what we see is that Jesus stands outside of the creation. He is the one, if there's something that's ever been created, so if there's a category of made or becoming or coming into being, He stands outside of that. The one making that. He holds the ability to create alone. God is the only one that can speak things out of nothing. And we see that from the Scriptures. And we see that the Creator has created not only what we see, but also more than we can see. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, He says that it was through Christ He also created the world. And that word world there is interesting because it actually doesn't just mean worlds. It's a word there that means ages and time. And so Jesus created just a lot more than like the chairs, the things that we make chairs out of or concrete out of or trees and things like that. He also created time and energy and space and things like that. And so I've got a little video. Is that all right if we do a little video this morning? All right, to kind of it's just a little picture. I went online and I was looking for some stuff. I've been looking all week and I found a telescope and they got a bunch of pictures of the universe. And so I put a bunch of these pictures in a slideshow, put a little music to it, so it wouldn't just be silence in here. And so Flint's going to play that. And I want you to just look at that. If you ever see like something that looks like an explosion, that's a star exploding, okay? That's like a supernova. And it's just kind of what God has created. And then we're going to look at why He created things in just a minute, okay? Now that's fascinating, isn't it? You know, they took pictures with this with a telescope, and they X-ray it, and they do infrared. Some you can see some of the infrared ones that they showed. But it's just fascinating what it is that God created, all right? And I just want you to think about that for just a second. We don't even know how big the universe is. We have no idea. Like, when they get to the end, as far as they can see, they just there's more past it. There's no end in sight to what God has made. And I want you to consider the vastness of it. And I want you to consider yourself in light of that. If you could put 1.2 million Earths, all right, inside of the sun, there would still be room for 4.3 million moons. All right, the sun is 865,000 miles in diameter, and it is 93 million miles from the Earth. Our next nearest star, which is Alpha Centauri, is five times larger than our sun. The North Star is 400 trillion miles away. You know, that's light years there away. It's a long way. There's a star called Betelgeuse. It's 880 quadrillion miles from us. That's 880 followed by 15 zeros. That's a long way. It has a diameter 250 million miles across. It is as big as our Earth's orbit, right? So you got this big star. It's as big as our orbit. God made that, okay? That's what we're looking. You know, you're just seeing little images that we've collected of what He made, all right? The Milky Way has billions of stars. The Milky Way, that's what we live. That's our little, like our subdivision that we live in the universe, okay? We live in the Milky Way. There are billions of stars in the Milky Way, and there are billions of other galaxies also like ours. And they say if you were to count all the stars in our galaxy, it would take you, and I wrote down here, 2,500 years to count it at 1 second at a time. That's how big of numbers we're looking at. And so why is the universe so big? Now, some people, scientists and some armchair scientists, and maybe some people in here believe it so that, you know, there is room for other places to be inhabited, for other life, like aliens, right? With the big eyes, you know, I've got a lot of family members that believe this. It's not a big deal if you believe that. I ain't got a problem with that. I don't believe it. I think it's funny. Anytime I talk to somebody, I always say it's funny. I will think it's funny until I get abducted. Then I won't be thinking it's so funny anymore. Then, well, you know. But anyway, the Bible tells us why God made such a big universe. It tells us why it's so amazing. See, in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, it says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them, He has set a tent for the sun." And so man needs to, we need to see that the purpose of God's creation is to declare His glory. And He says, look, I'm going to make all these things, and one day you're going to have a telescope big enough, right, to see a little bit of it, but you're really not ever going to be able to capture all that I've made. And He's going to say, I want you to see these things so that you see how great I am. And we fail to see that, don't we? Men tend to see how great they are, don't we? We like to look at how big and how great we are. And you see that this is mankind's way. You see in Romans 1, it's a sad way for us to be. You look into man's heart. And some of us in here may be this way. It says, what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. So He's talking about people that don't believe in Him. He says it's plain to them. God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they knew that He was there, it says they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And so men continue to ignore that God exists, because if God exists, you are responsible to Him, right? If there's someone bigger than you out there, you got to fall in line under Him. Now, I'm not trying to be sarcastic or anything like that. It's just a point that needs to be taken seriously, something that needs to be considered, that we are responsible to someone, some being that is much greater than we are. And so the point is this, and I think it's obvious, is that we know who He is. The point of Jesus saying, "Hey, I'm the Maker," because that's what we're wanting to learn Him, who He is, a little bit better. And there are 8 different things in these first 5 verses that we can learn about who God is, and who He is a little bit better. And one of those is that He's our Maker, so that we can humble ourselves before Him and acknowledge Him. And it helps us, I think, daily as we try to walk with Christ to recognize that He's our Creator. The second thing we see here is that in Jesus it says is life. That's the second thing we see this morning for us to look at. It says in verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And so He says, "In Him was life." And what you see in 2 ways, this is true. And the first way is that all life comes from Him. In Him was life. I think this is so neat because we're always exploring, right? Trying to find out the source of things and right whatnot. But we can trace the source of all existence and all life to Jesus Christ. It says that here, the Word there, it says, "In Him was life." Every little thing that has life, everything in the universe that has life, has got life because Jesus gave it to them. We look on our planet, we see like the grass out there. The source of its life is God. The plants that we see, the source of its life is God. The life that is within your dog or your cat at home, that source of that life is from God. The source of all the life that's to all animals, insects, whatever, has been given to us by God. And, listen to this, the source of your life has been given by God. Now, God has given you life. Now, if God can give you life, He can take it, can He? And we see that that happens very often. And for us as people, we need to realize that God gives us life, but He's also the one that's responsible for being able to take our life from us. And that's why Jesus told us it's so important that unless we be born again, we will not see the kingdom of God. We've got physical life, right? But what God is saying, what Jesus is saying when He came into the world, we need to get spiritual life. We need to have life that will last eternal. And that too comes from Christ. And so in the second aspect of "In Him was life," yes, the source of all physical life comes from God, but also spiritual life comes from Him. See, our atheistic culture at times says, you know, we say life started with God and then all these things and matter came from Him. But our culture, what we have a lot of times is there was nothing and there was matter and then life came out of that. So nothing made something. And both require faith to believe in, yes. I believe this other way seems a little bit more realistic. But we see that life flows out from Jesus. We see a picture in the end in Revelation chapter 22 that this life flows from the throne of God. We see that there is a river of the water of life there in chapter 22. Bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, there was the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so from God comes all life. And we need spiritual life. We see in John chapter 5, He says this, "I say to you, whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life." John 5:26 says, "As the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself." 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, "This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." And then Jesus contrasting what Satan wants to do and what he wants to do, we see in John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And so whereas we see that we often are drawn astray by what our body tells us it wants, which is contrary to what God's Word tells us it wants at times, and it's Satan that's behind these things, there's a spiritual battle that we fight, and it tells us these things are good, these things are perfect, these things cause pleasure and happiness and things like that. But Jesus is saying, look, no, really what Satan wants to do, he wants to steal you, he wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy you. And that's the result of it. That's the result of leading a rebellious life toward God. And Jesus says, I come so that you may have life, and not just life, but have it abundantly. Have a lot of it. John 10:28, he says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And the reason that we need life so bad, the reason it's so important, is because the Bible teaches that until a person is born again, until a person has trusted in Jesus Christ, that they're dead. Right? There's two ways to be dead. There's a physical death, and then there's a spiritual death. And if you're not a Christian this morning, the Bible teaches that you're spiritually dead. All of us in here were spiritually dead at one point. I was spiritually dead. It says in Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 2, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked following the course of the world. Colossians 2:13 says, and you who were dead in your trespasses. We were dead. And then later on the verses go to say that we could be made alive in Christ. And so why do we need to know this about Jesus? Why do we need to know that he has life? And the reason we need to know that is because whatever is dead in us or around us, he can give life to it. Okay? That's a practical application. If you're here this morning and your spiritual life is dead, he can make it alive. If your relationships around you, if your marriage is kind of dead, things like this are dead, you're walking, he can put life into it. If you seek him with all of your heart, he'll do that. That's what the Bible teaches. If we give ourselves to him. And so we desperately need eternal life. That's why knowing that he has life is so important. That's why he came. He said some important things about himself. He said, I am the way, so I'm the way to heaven. I'm the truth, whatever I say is true, and I'm the life. So I'm the way to get to heaven. I'm the truth that tells you about it, and I'm the life. I can give you life. And he wants us to know these things. And then the third thing we see this morning is that Jesus is light. You see there, it says there in the last part of verse 4 and in verse 5, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And as I said to begin with, I want these words light and darkness to be just more than just things that you hear or things that you say, cliches, you know what I mean? That you hear preachers say all the time and they never really kind of grasp the whole meaning of it. I want it to be a little bit more than that for you. I want you to really grasp what he's saying. He says, he, not only is he the source of life, but from that life comes light. And what does he mean by light? Does actual light come from Christ? Yes, we know that light comes from Christ. As we saw on the TVs this morning, as we looked at the pictures of what the telescopes did, we see that yes, God created light. In Genesis 1:3, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And there are light that we can't even see, right? There are certain things that we can't even see. We can't see infrared stuff. We can't see prisms, different little things. We can only see certain things. And God created all these things, but more specifically, what he's talking about here is a life for your spirit. And the reason we know that, it's easy to see that that's the context, is from the next verse, verse 5. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the darkness, the darkness we already defined, and we understand that it is evil that originates from Satan. Darkness is what has come over mankind, that has God-given desires, but they have been perverted and turned into lusts. So that the good things that God has called us to do, we turn them on top of their heads, and we do kind of the opposite. So he says, hey, look, I want you to have good things. And you say, yes, I want to have good things, but I want to have more good things than what you say. So maybe I steal, or maybe I covet, or maybe I'm jealous, or maybe I'm envious. Or he says, hey, look, I want you to have sex. Here's a good gift. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to wrap it up. It's going to be a perfect gift between you and your spouse. But then what do? We cause what out of it? Lust to come out of it. He says, hey, look, I want you to have power. He does. And I want you to have influence. And some of us do, but I want it to be in a good way so that my name is spread right. But so often in this world, how do people use their power and their influence and their charisma? It's to lead people astray and to cause people to adore them instead of using their power, their influence to cause people to adore God. And so that's the darkness that we're speaking about here when it talks about this. 1 John 5:19, the second part says, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, the light that we see with our eyes radiates through the universe, doesn't it? It causes what is dark. The universe is filled with dark spaces, dark matter. The light causes what you cannot see, like planets and moons and different things like that, to become clearly visible. For people to see, if they could, see that far, if you were looking through a telescope, light does that. Same thing like for us today. If it's dark in your house, you can just flip on a light. And what does it do? It causes things to be seen. And it is a perfect analogy explaining the light that comes from Christ, the spiritual life light that opens up and shows you what's going on in the darkness. It's a perfect analogy to explain it. I'm going to give you a few verses to make this point. That the light of God illuminates the darkness of our soul. And He shows us what needs to be cleaned up in there. He shows us where the filth is and what we need to do to get rid of it. We see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it says His divine power, bear with me on this one, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us very precious and great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And so what He's saying is that from Christ we have been given knowledge about life and godliness. And with this knowledge, we're able to escape, it says, the corruption that comes about because of evil desires, darkness, right? And that's what He does for us. We see in Matthew 4, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And so not only, guys, do we have, areas in our life that need to be cleaned up that we can't see, we're also, headed toward, it says, as the shadow of death, toward death, darkness, toward our end. And if light doesn't come in and illuminate us, that's where we go. We see in John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to him. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And He's saying the only way to know what is true, the only way to know what is right, is by following me. John 12, He says, I came into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And so what He's saying is, if you believe in Him, you will not remain in the darkness where you are. 2 Corinthians says this, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so it is through God coming to this earth as a man, God became flesh, is what the Bible says, to give light to people. And He's given that to us. And His spiritual light is shown in the darkness. Now, does anybody like cockroaches? Nobody. Okay? There's something particular about cockroaches. Do you see any running around in here? Okay. Lights are on. Cockroaches, they come out in dark, right? They come out at night. Now, I mean, you may have some, brave ones. Okay, I don't know how yours are, but essentially, when the lights are off, that's when they come off. And when you flick on the lights, what happens? They scatter, don't they? They try to find a place to hide. They try to find a place of darkness. And what happens when Christ's light shines on us, the cockroaches that have invaded the human soul, they start scattering. They don't like it. They get uncomfortable. They try to hide. And that's what we need, is Christ to see this. And the reason we need this light from God is, first off, if you're a non-Christian, it's because you currently live with darkness in your soul right now. The Bible says it's so bad that for some of us, we can't even tell that we're blind. We can't even tell that we don't see, that we can't see straightly. And we need that light to show us that. We need that light to say, look, maybe I'm going the wrong way. Maybe my way is not the right way. Maybe there is a God out there. Maybe there is a Christ. Maybe there is someone that I'm responsible to for the things that I do that are not right. And you're not alone. Every person that has ever walked this earth has sinned willfully and knowingly that they've sinned. And God says, I'm offering you forgiveness of those things, but you got to believe on me. You got to come to a knowledge of who I am. And for Christians, you still live in a land of darkness. This is the application, why you need to know that He's light. You still live in a land of darkness surrounding you on all sides. You're still not perfect, are you? No, we're not perfect. We still struggle daily, and we still need light to shine on the dark places in our lives that we need to get rid of. And that's the process that the Scriptures talk about that's called sanctification. That process where we are being made holy. Even though in God's eyes, because of the blood that Jesus shed for us, we are holy in His sight, but we're also in a process of being made holy. Now that's a mystery how that all works. It's the already but not yet. I don't know. You ask Him. But that's just kind of how it goes. And so we're in a process. And then the next thing we see, the last thing we see this morning, is that Jesus is overwhelming. And that is to the darkness. We see there, and the darkness has not overcome yet. Meaning the light that comes from the life that is in Jesus Christ. In the same way that Jesus raised Lazarus, a man on this earth, from the dead after he was 4 days in the grave, says, Lazarus, come out. In the same way He healed that little girl, and in the same way that He raised Himself up out from the grave, He overcomes darkness. He overcomes death. He can overcome these things. He calls mankind out of darkness. Isaiah 49:9 says this, come out to those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways, and on bare heights shall be their pasture. So we must respond and listen when God says, hey, I'm showing you something about myself. He says that the darkness has not overcome the light. Now there's two basic understandings of what that word means, overcome, and both of them would be right, and He may mean both of them. One is that the darkness didn't understand it. They can't comprehend it. They don't grasp it, and that is true, but probably the meaning would be that the darkness has not overcome the light from Christ. That's probably the meaning that John has there. Both would be correct, but it's saying, look, the darkness can't overcome these things. The light from Jesus can bring life to that which is dead. The light from Jesus can overwhelm the darkness. And the reason this is so important is because you need to know that in your own life. There's a lot of you in here that struggle with sin. You're Christians and you got these sins that you just struggle with greatly. And you need to know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ can overwhelm that sin in your life. It does not have to overcome you. It cannot overcome Christ. And if you've got a loved one that's not saved or you're not saved, also this morning, you can know that God can overcome the darkness that's in that person. Because God overcame the darkness that's in us, right? And He began to show us, hey, look, you know, those things that you thought were right, they're not necessarily right. I'm what's right. I'm what's right. And so we see that God does this. Now, darkness is also, in the Scripture, referred to as a means of separation from God. Now, it's one thing that if you walk on this earth and you've kind of fallen under darkness and Satan is kind of guiding your way, you may be like, I'm not a Satan follower. Well, you know, all of us, if we sin, we listen to him, okay? You know, if we get angry without cause, we've listened to him, right? If we lust, right? Sin. If we're greedy, you know, if we try to have power, popularity that God didn't want us to have, you know, it's okay to be powerful. It's okay to be popular. It's okay to have things. When we don't listen to God, who are we listening to? Satan. There's no like middle ground. It's no like God, me, Satan. It's kind of like, you know, one or the other. We listen to him or we listen to what's evil, okay? And that's called rebellion. We try to teach our kids that, you know. You listen to me or you're not listening to me. It's one or the other. There's a sense in which darkness is a means of separation from God. There is an outer darkness that's created by God for the punishment of sin and rebellion. And all of those things, and Satan obviously and the fallen angels have their place there, but mankind, many men will find themselves there. Matthew 25, verse 30 says, that he says, to cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so that is the place, the ultimate destination for those who just kind of thumb their nose up in God and say, at God and say, I don't need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. A, they're not that bad, okay? Or B, I've done enough good works to cover them. I'm good enough on my own. You know, that's an arrogant attitude toward God that we should never, ever have. And so just to kind of sum up these things, in the book of Ephesians, I want you to turn there, and if you don't have your Bible, I want you to follow along. This just kind of summarizes and sums up what we've looked at today. Starting in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "Therefore do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." If you're not saved, that would not be true of you, but hopefully you would want that to be true. It says, "Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says," this is important, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, for Christ will shine on you. And this is important to us, and you may say, how do I get this light? Well, it's been given to you today. It's been given to you today by me, okay? And the reason I say me is because I read the Bible. You could give it to someone else. The Bible says once he places light, it's nothing good about me, all right? It's just I'm giving you what the Bible says, what the Scriptures say. And the Bible says that we also are to be light for men, aren't we? That we're to give light to other people. It is God's Word is the means in which He gives light to people. He wrote down what He wanted us to know about Himself. Jesus Christ came and He revealed Himself to us. And then He got His disciples to write it down and tell us what He said. And so He does this. And then the Spirit of God, as that light is shown on us, as that light says, hey, look, this is what's right from the Scriptures. This is what's wrong. The light begins to shine and the Spirit of God begins moving and working in that person and begins to say, yes, that is correct. That is true. Those things are right. It shines light in your dark places. And so this morning, I just want you to think about this. This is, I believe, a sermon for those that know God and a sermon for those who don't know God. I think it's a good, for both of us, good application for those of us that are believers to grow closer to God. To say, look, I don't want darkness reigning within me. I want to get rid of those places that need to be cleaned up a little bit. And obviously, if you've never been saved, you want to give your life to Christ. So we're going to have an invitation this morning. I'm just going to play some background music. Kind of.